Through the example of Father Capon, we are given a model of how to be hope to a hopeless world, to be light to a dark world, to be so filled with joy that people desire to be around us. There's an urgency in the world right now. I want to enter the mission territory. In fact, the Lord has called all of us into this battle for souls. He's not given anybody a pass on that. Welcome to the Foxhole.
Welcome, everyone. This is Jason Searle, and on behalf of Capon's Men, we thank you for joining us in the Foxhole. Our men's faith formation groups follow the example of servant of God, Father Emil Capon, a priest from Kansas who lived the gospel in a simple daily life, all the way through his heroic actions on the battlefields and prisoner of war camp in Korea, where he eventually died at the hands of his captors. Although Father Capon was ordered to safety during the Battle of Insan, his response to accompany his men during the battle that ensued and their subsequent capture resulted in Father Capon becoming the most highly decorated chaplain in the United States Army history. His faithful service to our Lord and unwavering commitment to courageously inspire all those around him was an example we'd all like to emulate. The Foxhole has been honored to host guests who are making a difference in their communities, families, and their faith circle, and we explore how they, just like Father Capon, are doing the simple things in extraordinary ways. This week, we're excited to welcome two of my very favorite people, Gabriella and Sabrina Searle, who in our house and in the Diocese of Wichita are often referred to simply as the twins. They truly live up to that moniker, as they're a package deal, and they're rarely without one another. These are my youngest daughters. Chrissy and I have had 5 children, and they're number 4 and 5. They've been a great joy for me as a father to watch their faith blossom. They've always been keen to serve others and never afraid to step up into various leadership roles in regard to their faith. These two have been daily communicants for years, all through high school and prior to it, rarely missing a chance to be close to the sacraments. They make holy hours, lead rosaries, attend Steubenville, Totus Tuus, and prayer and action retreats. And along the way, they also played varsity tennis for 4 years, helping to claim a state team title as our podcast namesake, Cape and Mount Carmel Catholic High School here in Wichita. They also managed to get pretty solid grades, and the list goes on and on. Ask anyone who knows them, and the highest compliment a dad can ever think to hear is that their kids are a person of great faith, and they live up to this, and I hear it often. Although every week we hear from interesting folks that join our podcast that are contemporaries that we journey through life with, we thought this week we'd mix it up from our usual guests. We thought, what can we learn from those whom we've been entrusted responsibility for, and what through their eyes we as men can do more of, or perhaps even better, to reach kids and young adults and do our best to lead and inspire them. For those of us who are dads, it doesn't do a great deal of good to be a hero at the office and a bust at home. And I've been guilty of this from time to time over the years, but I'll tell you, these two here that we're talking to today oftentimes are very quick to forgive, and oftentimes they're leading me versus the other way around. I love them dearly, and I'm proud as I can be about them. We're going to miss them greatly next year when they head off to college. But before then, it's our hope they might give us men something to think about before they set off on their next great journey. And we're pleased at their willingness to share their perspective. Before I turn it over to Joe, I want to remind everyone that you can find all our faith formation resources at capensmen.com. And we thank you for sharing this podcast with your friends and family each week. Joe's going to lead us with a prayer. And with this, it's an honor to introduce Gabby and Sabrina and Joe. Welcome, and thanks for joining us in the Foxhole.
Thank you, Jason, and thank you, everyone, for jumping on today and for having just some time put aside to listen to the podcast and be encouraged. That intro was so absolutely exciting to me. As a father of 6, I was just thinking, as Jason was introducing, like, what if this was one of my kids, and what would they say? So today is really about youth and for youth, but it's really for all of us, the men on this call, because we encounter all the time young people in the pews and young people in our communities and young people at ball fields all over the country. And as a person who spent 20 years in youth ministry, one of those statements that I always struggled with was, this is the future of the church. Because I think I can say with great confidence, and I think when you get a chance to hear from Gabriella and Sabrina, the same thing, they are not the future of the church, they are the church of now. And as a As a church, we gather together and we're encouraged by their youthfulness and their passion and their excitement. So I'm super pumped. We're going to pray, and I want to pray a little differently today. I want to pray for all of the young people around us, whether our children, our grandchildren, the people we see in the pews at church. So let's just take a second. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, I just invite you into this call. I pray, God, for all the young people that have lived through some strange pandemics and some strange political times, Lord. I just pray that you give them some peace right now. I pray for the family, the father or the mother who's just tuned into the podcast, who may be struggling with their relationship with their children, God. I offer them up to you now, Lord. I just pray, God, that these young people, with their excitement and passion for our church and for their faith, can use that faith to make our world a better, more safe, more hope-filled place. And God, now I just pray specifically for Jason, for all of his children, but in particular, Lord, for Gabriella and Sabrina right now, that you just pour your love into them. Let them know they are your beloved, and let their family know that they're a model, not only for Wichita, but for anybody who jumps on the podcast today. I ask all these things to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and I just pray, Lord, for you just to keep us close to you during this time together. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Gabriella and Sabrina, welcome to the foxhole. Are you out there?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having us. We're delighted to be here.
It is an absolute blessing to have you, and it's pretty brave of your dad to let you come on here, because there's a lot of potential for craziness in this. And he mentioned something, and I want to jump into this because I'm not a twin, and you two have this unique perspective of being twins. And he talked about this bond that you guys have, and I think playing tennis together and all kinds of things. So just share with the audience a little bit about your family, maybe how you were raised in the faith, and even potentially some of the examples that you've been exposed to as young people being raised in the church.
Right. So the biggest part of our family, as far as prayer goes, are things that I remember being instilled from the time we were little children, whether that be family rosary, praying before meals, Sunday mass, or praying before bed, or physically being the child that was chosen on Sunday to place our offering in the basket at mass. There are so many examples of faith being lived out in our home, and I remember it always being an example that we followed, the example of our parents. And then as we grew older and we all kind of grew up into our own person, or we're still obviously growing and learning, but as we grow up, it's kind of shifted to we have all of these solid foundations that we still lean on, but our parents have given us the opportunity to choose the extra for ourselves, to choose to go to daily mass with him, or to choose to say an extra rosary on a Tuesday night. There's always these little ways that we're constantly invited. There's always an open invitation to enter into deeper prayer together. As far as being twins and that being an aspect of faith, that's a huge part of our faith for accountability. And it just makes choosing and saying yes to that invitation from God through our family that much easier.
Yeah, I think you're both aware that if we were to look at the stats of young people and families, and I do parish missions and hear a lot of parents and grandparents begging me to pray for their children and grandchildren, because so many young people have left the church. They either abandoned it in college or even in high school they've stopped attending. So just from what y'all have seen, what are a couple things you think have kept you engaged and maybe even have engaged your friends in the faith? That those listening can maybe start doing or connect their families to?
For me personally, the main thing that has inspired my faith throughout my life was not so much, this is going to sound kind of bad, the faith itself. It wasn't the praying 10 Hail Marys in a row. It wasn't going to Mass on Sunday. It was the people I associated it with from a young age. I wouldn't have appreciated my faith as much if it weren't presented in an attractive way by people that I loved and looked up to. And it all kind of started with different relationships. I remember in sixth grade, I had a teacher she was the most wonderful teacher I ever had. And she happened to teach religion, but no matter what subject she taught, I know she would have instilled in me or inspired a deeper faith in me, because she lived so joyfully and she lived uniquely. She wasn't one of those, she wasn't stereotypical and what somebody would call a quote-unquote Jesus freak. She was just a normal person who lived a profound joy in her life. And that was really the example that inspired me to really latch on and hone in and decide that my faith was something that I was going to make my own. Something that really inspires me outside of just the specific examples of joyful people who live a different life is seeing people pray and sacrifice, like different prayers that people I know have said for me or that I've been able to pray for people. I think sometimes we underestimate the power of prayer and sacrifice in our lives. I think we underestimate the ability, like you're saying, people ask you to pray for them all the time because people are leaving the faith. And I think we shouldn't be discouraged by being asked to pray for people. I think that should encourage us to continue with prayer because there's a spiritual battle going on for our souls right now. And I think it's important to remember that and to stay strong in our faith.
And that is, you guys speak as being much older in your faith than the two of you are. And I know I read a few years ago a quote that said, there are more atheists because they've watched what Christians do and their lives are kind of contrary or a contradiction to how they live. And it sounds like what you said in the first two things I've asked you, you very much have seen the faith come to life with your parents and in your school, and you recognize that. And I think if you're listening right now, I'd say to you, your children are watching. Your grandchildren are watching. They may not tell you, but they are paying attention to the things you're doing. And you're hearing Gabrielle and Sabrina realize that and talk about that in real time. I want to shift gears a little bit because both of you were on the pilgrimage video. And I personally think you stole the show. I think you're both like movie stars after having been around you. And I know you go to Cape and Mount Carmel High School. So clearly Father Capon and the story of Father Capon means something to you. So I'd love to give each of you, you know, an opportunity to share a little bit about what's touched you about the story and how Father Capon has kind of inspired you as young people as you've grown up.
For me personally, Father Capon was always attractive. Because what you guys discuss all the time, his strong example of accompaniment. He, in the filthiest, dirtiest, scariest place that you can imagine, in a prisoner of war camp where they were starving and dying from unimaginable causes, he exemplified accompaniment and not leaving his brothers behind, which is really important to me as a Christian because I don't think the faith is tangible without living it out with our brothers and living it out with our brothers and sisters. There's a reason Christ in the Gospels sent the disciples out in twos. There's a reason we're called to tackle the faith together. And I think Father Capon exemplifies that perfectly because he wasn't with the Holy Rollers. He wasn't with the most Catholic people. He was with our soldiers. He was with people who were fighting for our country, and it didn't matter what faith they were. He was still going to love them and care for them and show them God's love and God's faith. And that's something that I personally strive for daily. A big part of his story for me is obviously going to Cape Mount Carmel. We have the opportunity to hit his history pretty hard our junior year. We get to learn about the details of his story. I just remember when I learned all of those stories and even the small things, I just remember thinking how much Father Capon must have suffered, not only physically, but just mentally and spiritually. It had to be draining. There's no way it was always fulfilling. And I just think about how easy it is for me when suffering comes or sacrifice for me to complain about it or try to avoid it or go with what the world says, go the easiest route. And Father Capon has been an example to me of clinging to the radical reality that God sent his only son to die on the cross And that makes my suffering worth it, and it makes it redemptive, and that saves souls. So just the example of suffering with the intention, with and holding intentions in your heart as you do so, would be a very powerful example of Father Capon to me.
And I know both of you walked past the cross that was made in the prison of war camp. The cross is in your school, correct?
Yes. Correct.
Yeah, so you walk past that and get an opportunity to almost enter his story every day you're in school. I want to ask a follow-up a little bit about the pilgrimage, because I was personally encouraged every time I saw y'all, because this pilgrimage is kind of grueling, 60 miles, you're a little exhausted, and I'm not in the perfect shape, so the idea of walking that sounded tough. And you both smiled, encouraged. What would you say to somebody who's listening right now who's going to Google the Father Capon pilgrimage, and is like, I could never do that? Like, what advice would you give to someone who's like, there's no way I could pull that off? Because that was me until I did it.
Well, if I had to describe the pilgrimage in a simple sentence, I would say suffering made joyful. When you sign up for the Father Capon Walk, it's not like any other retreat. You know that you're signing up for days of walking in the hot sun, and you know you're signing up or pain on top of pain, pain that you probably have never really experienced before. But I think seeing other people accompany each other, that is what encourages me to keep going. That's what pushes me. And I think the best part about the walk is that with every step that you feel pain, you're able to offer that up. It's such a tangible way, like Sabrina was saying earlier about Father Capon and his suffering. It's a tangible way to take suffering and offer it up, because every step is a prayer. And I think that's what makes it such a profound retreat. And it's in that suffering and in those painful moments that we become our most authentic selves. And I think that although it's the most pain you experience, being your most authentic self is where you're able to find the most joy, which is personally why I feel so excited and such a profound happiness and joy on the walk. And there's always going to be people on the walk. You're going to think, wow, I can't do that. I'm out of shape. I'm however old. There's this commitment in the way. But there's always somebody out there who is suffering more than you. So you just get, so it's good to remember that, keep that in perspective, and then say, okay, it's not going to be easy for me, but I can be there for that person.
Now, that suffering made joyful. That was how I felt most of the time on that walk. I would say, even as a father, I have two daughters, and I'm hearing how confident you guys are and how much you love your faith and how much you're inspired by Father Capon. And there are a lot of people listening right now who are dads or granddads, and we're trying. You know, I've never been a 14, 15, 16-year-old girl, so it's sometimes it's hard to know what to say or how to say it. Just from your perspective, speak to us a little bit about how, as dads and granddads, we can better communicate, encourage, listen, inspire the girls, the young ladies in our lives, our daughters or granddaughters, and maybe even specifically some of the challenges that you see on the ground with the young women around you, and maybe ways that you think we could jump in and help navigate some of that without lecturing or screaming or, you know, being super authoritative. Like, what are some things you would encourage us to do?
Right. You said it yourself. You guys have, none of the fathers or grandfathers have been a teenage girl, so it's, the relating part is difficult for sure. And there are three things, there are a couple things that I think that, and have talked to a few of my friends about in preparation for this, that teenage girls struggle with, and that is self-worth is a huge one. Not knowing that they're good enough, not knowing that they're loved by him and by everybody who surrounds us. And then the balance between fitting in and being a good person is something that I think a lot of girls, especially girls who are oriented towards the faith, are struggling with. Because fitting in a societal way is sometimes completely opposite of what the faith asks us to do. And so I think finding that balance of being a good and relevant person is difficult. And so I think a good way for the men to encourage us in our faith journey, to find that balance in our life, because virtue is always in the middle, would be through giving us time, and listening to our day. So whenever there's a complaint or something that we're struggling with, our emotional capacity is at a very difficult and testy time. And so just being able to listen and try to empathize and showing interest and genuine care for our struggles and our successes are two big ways to just help us in our journey towards faith. And to invest not only in the little things, but invest in what makes us joyful. Always ask the deeper questions. It's a relationship, and it's about an invitation and an investment and putting in your half of that.
And that is that's a pretty deep answer to a question. I thought you might just say, take us out to coffee and get some things. But this is dealing with self-worth and fitting in and emotional capacity. I mean, that's strong stuff. And I wonder if one or the both of you could speak in to that self-worth. I know that neither of you would say, I gather my self-worth from popularity or power or money or academics. What is the what are y'all connected to that's giving you this confidence and self-worth that maybe you could share with our audience and maybe even encourage our audience to have their children or grandchildren tap into as well?
So my self-worth, I would say I started to become in tune with in fifth grade because I feel like that's really when I made the choice to make my faith my own and when I made heaven my goal. And once you make heaven your goal, that's when your self-worth internally is found in Jesus Christ himself. As far as that being fostered by the community and the people I surround myself with, self-worth is not something I usually struggle with because I surround myself with people who do not put their self-worth in societal suggestions or societal norms. So people who live their faith out in a very radical way, but also lead varsity tennis or lead in the classroom, people who live out both are the people that I surround myself with that really help me to live out my worth as being his. And I think for me personally, obviously, as a girl, we're known as struggling with self-worth, and I think a lot of that just comes from we have a hole in our hearts, and everyone has a hole in their heart that they're trying to fill. And I think for girls, being such emotional beings, it's easy for us to try to find that in material things and things that we think will make us happy and fill that emotion. And for me personally, self-worth has always been a battle, but it hasn't been something that I've ever lost my confidence in, because I know that, yes, the things that I struggle with are valid, and I recognize that, but I also know that I am doing my best to be the best person I can be in all facets of my life, and I realize that God is the point from which everything flows in my life, or at least, obviously, I'm a flawed human, so I'm trying to make him that, and if God is your center, everything good will flow from that. And I think it's important to realize that it takes patience. It takes a long time to get there. No one was telling me when I was struggling at 13 years old with different things, with image and things like that. No one was telling me, oh, you just need to have faith. People related to me in that, and people listened. And from that listening, I was able to grow in confidence in myself and then grow in confidence in God. And then after that, the rest kind of follows.
And not to say that we live out self-worth perfectly. I mean, we try. We do what we can, but there's always those struggles. And so a big part of it is forgiveness of yourself. So you can always go to confession, but you can't get past the battle that is self-worth without giving yourself the mercy that God gives you.
You guys, that is beautiful. And you really just did an incredible job of breaking open something that a lot of people have a hard time speaking into and even making sense of. I want to end with a question about young faith leaders, because I think you're leading on the tennis court, leading the classroom, and leading your community and your church. How can we kind of support young people in that movement without either being overbearing or taking over, or, you know, even though we may think we know the right way? What are some ways we can encourage the young faith leaders to get moving and to continue to move?
Again, I think it's about emphasizing and affirming what they care about outside of the faith. So whether that's a sport or theater or school or friends. And then after that, obviously faith is always first, but that's not always the orientation of a high schooler. After that, encouraging their faith, and always affirming any step they make, always treating them with forgiveness, affirming any step they make towards heaven, towards our goal, and really being okay with the way they choose to live out their faith, because it's not always going to be a chapel-loving individual. Sometimes it's going to be a silent person who prays behind closed doors, which is something that we're called to as well. And then I think as a father, a great way would be for yourself, your own reflection, finding your balance between being relevant to our youth and the radical faith. Finding the balance between those two things in your own life will only help you to spot and affirm and cultivate that in the lives of your children.
All right, here's the big question that a lot of people listening are wanting to know the answer to is, what's next? So what? Give me 30 seconds. What you guys, I know you pray probably and discern and think a lot about the future. What's the next step for both of you? Can you give me a little insight into that?
Hopefully make it to tomorrow. honestly, I don't know a lot of answers right now. We're looking at colleges. We have a few in mind, mostly Catholic colleges, and we're waiting on one more big acceptance or decline, and we'll see. Probably make our decision based on that. But right now, I'm just kind of focusing on the moment. Life's something to take delight in, ultimately. So I'm trying to save every moment I have with my friends here in town and with my priests and my family. As far as prayer goes, my main discernment has not been for the future, but has been more for the presentness of now and just being able to be. So I'm going to take that as far as it can get me, and then we'll make our choices later.
No, that's healthy spirituality, to be tied to the present moment and surrender that moment to the Holy Spirit. Is this fair to say you guys are going to go somewhere together?
Sabrina and I are kind of inseparable, if you haven't noticed that by now. And who knows what the next 4 years will bring or what the years after that will bring. But all I know is that right now we have each other, and I want to live in that as long as I can.
Well, you guys heard it here first. I think we've got two saints on the line. If you've ever seen the Pilgrimage series, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Two young ladies who seem to have embraced their faith, embraced their family, embraced their community, embraced just growing in love daily with the Lord, but staying completely present to the moment they're in. Sabrina and Gabriella, would it be okay if you pray us out of here? I'd love for you just to pray us to out of the call, and then Scott will come in on the backside and close it down. But know that I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your family. I'm praying for your discernment. I'm praying for whatever this big decision is coming. And I just would hope that you'll continue to pray for us and all the people on this call as well.
Yes, thank you so much for having us on the call. We're praying for you too every day.
All right. Let's start with the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts, flood our veins. Lord, we ask you to please bless everyone on this call. Help us to do your will daily and in the little things. Help all of the men on the call to be better fathers, uncles, friends, and brothers. May we choose to do your will daily, despite
any pressures from the outside. Help us to say continually yes to you and to give you a fiat like your own mother. Lord, we ask you to instill in us a spirit of gratitude and presentness as we take on the following weeks, months, years, and the rest of our lives, that we may better imitate Father Capon and live out community so as to live in the ultimate community after our time here. We ask this all in your name. Amen.
Gabby and Sabrina, thank you so much for joining us today. It's really humbling to have you join us and have your wisdom, have your encouragement for us as men, both in relating to the children, you know, young women, young men in our lives, but also just you know, for our own sakes, to seek that holiness. And I think your perspective of, you know, living the faith authentically, as well as not doing it alone, can make a powerful impact not only on our families, but with the other people we're around as well. And not just the holy rollers, but the men in the foxhole, as Father Capon was with them. And I think, you know, our faith is so rich, but it's also challenging. And to me, to us listening, I think it doesn't seem like you shy away from that. And I think a lot of us as men aren't always naturally inclined to embrace the cross and embrace that suffering. But there is something in our hearts that's drawn to that, the power and the beauty of it. And that's because that's where Christ is. That's when he's fully alive in us and when we can best witness the faith, both to, like you said, our families and also the men and women around us. And so thank you for your nuggets of wisdom. Thank you also just for sharing some of the struggles that you and other young women face. I know it can take a lot to be vulnerable, but through that vulnerability, hopefully it will help us listeners connect, make those connections with the young women in our lives. So the challenge for us listening this week is something that you said, to really make heaven our goal. And it can seem like obviously a very abstract challenge, but my mind goes back to one of our video series, and Joe's challenged us, or he asked us, you know, does your family know that you're doing what you do because you love the Lord? You know, are you just doing it because you want something of your own, or do they know that heaven is your goal, basically? And so that's our goal this week, is not to do it to draw attention to ourselves, but really to live, to act, to even have conversations so that those around us can know, hey, this man, this woman, whoever's listening, they're living for heaven, and they're witnessing to Christ, and what they do is because of their love for Christ. So we're drawing attention to him. So this week, let's all try and make heaven our goal. Again, thanks to all of you for listening. If you know someone who could benefit from this episode, pass it on to them. Don't wait. Do it right away. These twins are awesome. Known them for a while now, and they're great. So their story will be inspiring to others. As always, until next time, stay humble, stay courageous, and know that Father Capon and we are praying for you.
Thanks for joining us in the Foxhole. As we go, we're blessed to leave you with these words from Father Capon himself.
We can surely expect that in our own lives there will come a time when we must make a choice between being loyal to the true faith or of giving allegiance to something else which is either opposed to or not in alliance with our faith. O God, we ask of Thee to give us the courage to be ever faithful to Thee. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of you. Amen.